Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to our good news segment. It's so great. Every time I get the opportunity to get an update from our friends at PETA, PETA.org, P-E-T-A.org. Every time I see that we're going to have a conversation with them, I'm always blown away about what they're doing, but also how little we are aware of what needs to be done. Today, all of you are going to experience for us Dr. Lisa Jones-Engel, PETA's Senior Science Advisor on primate experimentation. Let me say it again. Yes, it's real. Primate experimentation. That's not something just in the movies. This is the way we are doing things even now. Dr. Lisa, great to have you. Welcome.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the chance to talk with you about this.
Well, you know, most people think this is all done, that we just are not really in the groove anymore, that, you know, we got the message on this and everybody has changed and here we are. But boy, that is so far from the truth. And let's give everybody an update here on what the reality and the facts are, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. So the reality is that experimenting on monkeys or apes has been disastrous and we need to stop. You know, there's been more than a million monkeys that have been ripped from Asia and Africa and South America. They've experienced really unspeakable horrors. They're boxed up, they're shipped around the world, they're tortured, they're killed in the lab. Billions of taxpayer dollars are wasted. And the horrors for the animals, the extraordinary waste of taxpayer dollars, the utter failure to produce successful vaccines and meaningful treatments. This is the reality of monkey experimentation. This reality is happening here in Washington State. It's a reality that I lived for 14 years as a primate scientist here, and it is a reality that people, you're right, simply don't know what's happening, even here in our own state, our own backyard.
And I got to tell you, especially in our own backyard, if I might say, Dr. Lisa, because we think better of Washington State. At so many levels, we think better of Washington State. You know, one of the states that leads in the fight against climate change, one of the states that led in the openness and support of same-sex marriages. I mean, there's so many things we have come out of the gate with. What the heck is going on here? And many people don't understand what the National Primate Research Centers are. But let's talk about how you all are connecting the dots so that we all know who to call and ask them what's up.
Great. So there are seven remaining National Primate Research Centers. So ours is here in Washington, in Seattle. Mm-hmm. There are another one in Oregon, California, Texas, Louisiana, Georgia. There used to be an eighth. That was up in Massachusetts, and that was at Harvard University. But a few years ago, you know, Harvard looked at the facts. They looked at the monkey facts. They looked at the money facts, and they realized that after decades of phenomenally expensive and torturous experiments on these monkeys, that they hadn't delivered the promised HIV vaccines or the Alzheimer's treatments or treatments for cardiovascular disease or diabetes. And Harvard shut down their National Primate Research Center. They no longer wanted to invest in bad science. But there are these seven holdouts who, despite, you know, all the evidence sitting in front of them, you're not going to get improvements in human health by using a monkey that's diseased and distressed and caged underground in a tiny little metal box. Despite that, these institutes or these NPRCs have kind of run under the radar for a while here in Washington State. I and PETA are doing everything in our power to make sure that actually people do see. They see the violations, the animal welfare violations. They see the Washington State law violations. They see the federal violations of the Animal Welfare Act. And that they know that, you know, all this money that we're spending on them, all these monkeys that are dying, and we're getting nothing out of it.
Mm. So what does it take from your perspective to get like a wake-up call here and get people to stop?
People have to see it. People have to hear about it. And that is tough because this is a billion-dollar industry that is highly invested, highly motivated to make sure that people don't see. You know, the misinformation that's put out, you know, we see it all the time. We must have monkeys in order to get, you know, COVID vaccines. Well, that's a blatant lie.
Yeah.
Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, they knew from the very beginning that the virus was not behaving the same way in the monkey, that it was behaving in humans. And they said, hey, this monkey stuff, this is garbage. We're going directly into human clinical trials. And that's why we got these vaccines into our arms very, very quickly. If we had relied on the continued, you know, the riding the monkey train, we'd still be in the depths of this pandemic.
You know, I know you're on the forefront of this, and you're like me. Every time we get something like this, we wonder, is this reality, right? Is this something that we're just not looking at? And let's make sure everybody knows that you are upfront, and they can go to your website, and they can get a lot of information, and they could take some action. Would you let folks know how they can do that?
Absolutely. So you can go to PETA.org/NPRC, National Primate Research Center. The documentation is there. The description of the 7 National Primate Research Center. You can actually see the videos. You can see the information that we pull through Freedom of Information requests. You can actually click on the Activist Center and send an email to the National Institutes of Health, which funds with taxpayer dollars these NPRCs, and tell the NIH, you know what? No, this is not how I want my taxpayer dollars being spent. This is flawed science. It is taking away funding from the 21st century's approach to human health.
Yeah.
So tell NIH, put the money toward translatable, human relevant, non-animal research. That's where our dollars should be going.
Well, let's get at the bottom of something that nobody's talking about. You know, I talked about this years ago when we were leading the championship and investigations into the core essence of Lyme disease and how that may have happened. You know, why is it called Lyme disease out of Lyme? And you have something in this report that really does speak to a battle we took on. And let's get on it right now. Some of the facilities, and I think they were Texas, Louisiana, what they are acknowledging, this is shocking right now, what we're about to say. You ready? That thousands of monkeys, right, who are being housed outdoors. So thing number one, everybody should hear, they're not all indoors. So let's start with that conversation. But imagine thousands of monkeys housing outdoors, carrying deadly parasites, and you don't even have to fill out the rest. Anybody with a little common sense, think about this. They can spill over into human populations. But just everybody listening, imagining this. Here you've got these monkeys, and they are outdoors. Thousands of monkeys. Now think about this from your own perspective. How often do we see a deer walk through your backyard, and you all know that that one deer can carry more ticks than you can imagine, which spill over to your yard, then that spills over on other things. So this, Dr. Lisa, this is the thing people need to think about right here. Am I correct? Fact check me. Please fact check
me. You are spot on with that. And I'm actually going to even put a little bit finer detail on that. So you talked about Texas and Louisiana, the primate centers there with thousands of monkeys. Those monkeys are basically an outdoor buffet for mosquitoes and for beetles that they carry all types of infections. And so the vectors, that's what we call
vector-borne
insects, they come in. Yep. They feed on the monkeys. The parasites that they're carrying actually kind of circulate in those monkey populations. They diversify, they mutate, they change in those monkey populations. Then more bugs come in, they feed on them, they pick up the new bug. Then they go out and they feed on humans. They feed on our dogs, Chagas disease, Right now, Texas and Louisiana have admitted in their own publications that their monkey populations are maintaining a significant role in the maintenance, transmission, and diversity of the parasite that causes Chagas disease, and that this is the likelihood that this is now spilling over into human and canine populations. This stuff is happening.
It's shocking.
And no one knows about it.
No one knows about it. And honestly, I wish, you know, that we could do a bigger expose on this, because I got to tell you, I fought for 10 years, myself and a number of doctors here in Washington State, the state that admits that would not admit that Lyme disease lives here. And I experience how they get around that myself. It's shocking what they did to not acknowledge that Lyme disease here until the numbers got so big that they had to really admit, oh, these are not transplants from other states. Maybe somehow a tick knows how to get from Montana to Colorado to Idaho. So somehow somebody acknowledged that. Why are we so naive about this transmission? Because, you know, the science would say that this is one of the reasons that we can't pinpoint where half of this parasitic diseases are coming from.
You are, again, you were so spot on. Actually, the Washington State Primate Center got busted by the Washington State Department of Ag because they were importing diseased monkeys into Seattle without the necessary permit. And actually, that was just their import monkeys, and they're not allowed to bring in disease monkeys, but they still were. And that is something. So, yeah, we busted them for that, or WSDA busted them for that. But that's just one example. You know, we are showing that there are disease, pathogen, and parasite, and ridden monkeys that are traveling all over this country. And, you know, we know it. The CDC knows it. You know, a few weeks ago, we actually, the world got a face full of it, because in Danville, Pennsylvania, monkeys fresh off the plane from Africa, there was an accident. They spilled out onto the highway. Three of them got loose. The Centers for Disease Control actually sent a team up immediately. They saw this is the nightmare scenario.
Yeah.
CDC knows the public health risk. Mm. Those monkeys were shot dead.
Can I just tell you something? Let's just get to something. I know you got to run. I'm way over my time. But I just got you to, I need you to comment on this. Most of the time when we talk about these Washington National Primate Research Center, everybody thinks, oh, maybe they're in Yakima, right? You feel me on this? This center is not. Uh-huh. This is not in Yakima. Let's tell people where the Washington National Primate Research Center is, okay?
It is. Smack dab in the middle of Seattle on the UW campus. It's in a buried underground facility on the health sciences campus.
Yep.
There are infant monkeys in the lab in health sciences on five floors of health sciences. You've got monkeys. We used to have monkeys right next to the Olympic sculpture garden.
Yep.
You know, there are so many monkeys
right there,
hidden
right there
in this city.
Yep.
Yep.
Look, thank you so much for today. Give out your website and last question, personal message. What do you want to leave us with today?
UW.org/NPRC. People need to see. We need people to look, to see what's going on, and then to hold the individual to a responsible, accountable. We need good human health, and you don't get that by using monkey science.
Yeah.
These monkeys.
Yeah.
Bad science. And a public health threat.
Yeah. And I am just shocked why we do not have more protesters outside these buildings, why we're not doing more to expose it, because we actually cannot believe that right in the heart of Seattle, that is going on. Dr. Lisa Jones Engel, I'm Dr. Pat. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back.
Melissa Johnson is a certified life coach, author, speaker, and creator of WOW Ministries, Worship Over Worry, designed to give you the tools needed to live a life of purpose. You have a choice daily to worry about your life and give up the fight, or decide to worship God through your pain and triumph victoriously. Melissa Johnson offers a variety of books, curriculums, and programs to guide you through a self-discovery journey.
Book your consultation with Melissa Johnson today at wowministriesllc.com.
You've been listening, but are you watching?
tune in to your favorite shows on the Transformation Talk Radio Facebook page. We stream live video podcasts every day, and we love to hear from you. Leave comments and questions for the host to address live, on the air, and get to know the faces behind the voices you love. Just go to Facebook and search for Transformation Talk Radio.
Yeah, yippee skippy to that, baby. Hey, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to our good news segment. I got to tell you, it's a good news segment. Dovid Efyun is joining me here today. And, you know, the reason that I'm excited about speaking with him, because he is doing something that I have longed for people around the New York City arena to do. You know, growing up in New York City, okay, what do I know about New York City? I remember getting on that subway, having that paper, grabbing that coffee right there. If you come through the tubes, you got that, you got your paper, you're sitting on the subway, and you are just getting all up to date with what's going on. But now there's a new world. And Dovid is doing something really fascinating with this new world. Because I don't know about you, but I am really longing for journalism. Now, old school journalism, new school journalism, I don't care what you call it. It's journalism. And what is the New York Sun, right? You ready for that? I know that one. One of America's historic newspaper. What are they doing? Here's what they're doing. They're getting it on. They're relaunching an online daily and national, international coverage aiming at restoring public trust in the press. Hallelujah for that. Dovid, welcome to the show.
Pleasure to be with you. Thanks for having me, Dr. Pat.
I'm telling you, growing up in New York, one of the things that most New Yorkers, and I can't speak for everybody in New York, but you know this, that's why you're launching this, is we are really hungry for news. We're hungry to get information. And this is across the board. This is really across the board. But we're hungry for saying, who are the people that are contributing? What is the newspaper about? How many places can we look at this? And what is it that we can take from this and we can trust? Now, let me ask you this question. Did you consider those things when you said, okay, I'm on it. I am relaunching this paper, New York, The Sun. Tell me.
Absolutely. Those are exactly the things that we considered. And I don't have to tell you that, you know, while news consumption is at the all-time high, there are, you know, dozens and hundreds of news publications in print, especially online. But at the same time, newspapers and journalism are in crisis. And I'm not even talking about the business of newspapers. I'm talking about the crisis in trust. You have a situation nowadays where trust in journalism and news institutions has reached all-time lows. It's more than halved since record-keeping began in 1972. And that's bad. You know, that's really dangerous for our democracy. I mean, we all know that journalism is the lifeblood of democracy. That means if journalism is sick, then our democracy is sick. And when you have so many citizens who look at the press that is supposed to serve as a safeguard of democracy, to be, you know, if you will, the backstop, the safety net of democracy, when all other institutions have failed, and yet the press itself is failing so spectacularly, we know that it's time for a new journalism. And there is no better publication than the New York Sun that has that 200 years of history, almost 200 years of history, that declares on its iconic masthead that it shines for all, that it puts the interests of the American public first, that puts principles over politics and partisanship and individual personalities. This is a newspaper, I would argue, for this very moment, like no other.
And I want to thank you, too, for making this affordable for people. People can go to your website and they can read. But thank you for making your membership so that it's accessible to everyone. And that's what I was really struck by, because I remember how much I used to pay for papers and, you know, being delivered. And then I have a bunch of online subscriptions. But one of the things you did is you broke this down into three tiers, so that there's something for everyone. And when I think about that, you know, you can become a member for, help me with my math, but it's like 33 cents a day. And then you can build upon that and then look at what you all are providing people. I have to congratulate you for that, because coming out of the gate, I know what it's like to launch media. We're going from one channel to 10. We've been working on our technology. And I know what it's like to do that. And one of the most important things for us was our price point. We could not build a network with 10 channels, you know, offering custom channels to even somebody like you, and then just gouge the prices. So thank you for doing that. Tell me this.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know,
right? I mean, you did it. I want to talk about journalists too.
Yeah,
exactly. And you know, by the way, instead of holding the paper in the subway, you can have the phone. But this is not just for New Yorkers. This is for everybody, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely the case. I mean, look, we are in New York by birth, if you will, and mm-hmm. even a bit by spirit. But we're a national paper, even an international paper. I mean, you know, we all know about the New York Times, even the LA Times and the Washington Post. I mean, today, those boundaries don't really exist anymore. And the national papers, you know, have a base here or there, wherever they are, but they speak to certainly issues that are affecting people across the country and even around the world. You know, we have national correspondents, we have international correspondents. Our base is New York, our home base is New York, and certainly we've got robust New York coverage. But we are a paper that shines for all. We're a paper that has coverage and is interested in the needs and the tribulations and the concerns of regular Americans across this great country. And I think in a way that few other newspapers are. So I would say we're a newspaper with open arms that seeks to shine for all and welcome all Americans to participate mm-hmm. and become a part of our community.
Oh, well, I got to tell you, I'm already hooked because I'm already reading some of the articles here. And after I'm done with this, I'm going to sign up for my subscription. You know, I mean, you're covering so many points and perspectives. And I love three things about what you're doing. It's not just an online paper, but you're creating forums for people to have conversations, for them to participate. And yet when I go to the website, let me just give it out. It's nysun.com, nysun.com. Did I get that right? Nysun.com?
Yeah.
Okay.
www.nysun, N-Y-S-U-N. It's an easy one.
Oh, it's an easy one. That's why I thought I messed it up right there. What I love about this is real journalism. I was struck by this morning, and I know this is a short interview, but I started to read some of these articles and I'm like, oh, I got to comment on that. Oh, wait a minute. I got to find somebody on that. Oh, wait a minute. I got to talk about this, the article that's in here about Romney. And you know, okay. Oh my gosh. You know, and so I find myself like in one click really interested. Can I ask you this question? The thing that I think is got my attention is the quality of the writing. These are journalists, correct?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we put a tremendous focus. You know, I don't know why it is, but, you know, when it comes to your doctor or your lawyer or your accountant or your travel agent, you know, everybody wants the best and the brightest. But, you know, people will click on anything that they see on the see on the internet that looks like a shiny object. You know, we have a very different approach to this. You know, we interviewed somewhere between 200 and 300 people, the best and the brightest people with real deep experience on the issues that we're covering. Our editor-in-chief, Seth Lipsky, is really a legend in the world of journalism. And, you know, if you look at the handful of folks we selected from that massive list of candidates, we've really picked the best and the brightest. And, you know, we know that the worth and the measure of any newspaper is not in market cap or cash on hand. It's in the hearts and minds of its editors and journalists. And that goes back, you know, all the way. In fact, in an old description of the New York Sun's newsroom, which was sort of an empty warehouse in the 1800s, you know, a big building, but that's what the room looked like. It was just a big open room with a lot of desks. The biographer speaks of the only adornment in that room is the men and their genius. And the men and women of the New York Sun have been hand-selected to bring the very best value to our readers and bring real expertise, knowledge, thoughtfulness to every single subject. We put a lot of focus on that and certainly know that it's much needed and will be appreciated by the American public and by our constituents and readership.
Well, I have to tell you, I know what it's like to create quality. And yes, we do invest in building our networks. I mean, I know what we've invested, but we invest because people want the best. And I really have to honor you for the way that you've come out of the gate with this. I want to ask you this last question. I only got about 2 minutes left here, but tell me your vision. I want to know your vision. Where are you going from here? Okay, but you don't have to give me any secrets, but something. Give me something.
Well, look, you know, our vision is really influenced by our past, and it's not a secret because in order to achieve our vision, you know, we'll need people to come along with us. You know, we'll need a community to join us and stand behind us. You know, it's a participatory sport. If you're not happy with the journalism you see today, instead of disengaging, you know, we invite you to become a part of building a better alternative. That's the American way. And you can do that at nysun.com. But what we'd like to really build, you know, is to build back this historic paper of record. You know, in our city, in New York, there's another paper, the New York Times, that has really fashioned itself as the be-all and the end-all of journalism. Yet there are many tens of millions of Americans who really look at that paper and feel like it doesn't represent them in any way, shape, or form. And the New York Sun really filled that role as a counterweight for many years. It was founded 18 years before the New York Times. It's got those Pulitzer Prizes, nearly 200 years of history. It's a New York broadsheet with a Gothic masthead and a focus on politics and arts. So in many ways, you know, it is that mirror image of the time and of the times. And if we can build the New York Sun back to that prominent role that it's held historically, speaking for all Americans as a counterweight to a newspaper that many Americans feel has lost its way, you know, we'll be, you know, very pleased with that achievement. And our hope is that the American public will welcome that as well.
I love it. Thank you so much for everything. One last question. I would be remiss if I didn't. What's your personal message? What do you want to leave us with today?
My personal message is that, you know, in today's world, every single person, individual person, can be an editor-in-chief of their own outlet, of their own Facebook page, social media accounts. And it's not just enough to consume and read the best journalism, but it's we're in a moment where everybody can participate in it. And everybody should consider doing so for the good of the future of journalism and the future of our democracy.
I love it. Thank you so much for joining me here today. Many, many more things to come. Please make sure you all go to the website and check it out. You can decide for yourself, nysun.com. Let's take a short break, everybody. We'll be right back.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.